division, turmoil, and violence. Sounds like the evening news, doesn't it? But can you imagine a world of peace and safety, with no cars on the streets or smog or smoke in the air, where children play outside and the elderly live and laugh in families? Welcome to Through the Bible. Today, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, tells us about the beautiful world that's coming in the future. Isaiah the prophet tells about this place in his book, and today in Zechariah 8, we'll get more details. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host, and as you grab your Bible and prepare for our study, Greg Harris and I have got some great letters to share with you.
Well, we do, Steve. And when we were putting together the idea of the World Prayer Team a number of years ago, and it was just really a dream at that time, we had this idea of why don't we finish the last 6 weeks of every year with just praise and reports largely of people coming to faith in Christ. And so we are so excited to be entering that phase of the year as we enter into Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of that. So let's read some great letters that reflect what God has been doing all year long as a result of our prayers.
That sounds great. Let me kick this off with a letter from Adam. I found Dr. McGee's sermons back in April, and the first thing I listened to was Sparks Fly Upward. I have been listening every Sunday since then. It is no coincidence the first sermon was exactly 1 year since God saved my life. After listening today, I had to write and thank you for continuing to share the word through Dr. McGee. I have learned so much. In the depths of my addiction, I was like Jonah in the belly of the fish. I did not know who I was crying out to, but for 3 days and nights, I would try to drown myself in using, saying, "Help me, I'm lost and see no way out." Despair and hopelessness were my best friends. When you're thrown into a raging sea, you're not expected to live. But God gave me a second chance. He placed me back on dry land. And so now I ask that God ever reminds me, "Thy will be done." These are not words to relent to or just accept. They are words of joy to be extolled and shared. It is our salvation, our protection, His promise. My heart overflows with love for His good word.
Steve, how many of these kinds of letters have we heard about God's word delivering people from addiction?
Yeah,
it's just such a powerful testimony. Now, here's a guy we consider a real tech guy from Romania, and he writes, "Peace to you. Through this program, I've met God. I didn't know too much about him before, and obviously, I didn't know the God of the Bible. I live in a town of about 30,000 people, and as far as I know, we do not have any Bible-believing or following churches here."
Wow.
That's some kind of a statement. He goes on, "From a young age, I've been passionate about electronics. One day, I repaired a radio receiver, and I tried to get a radio station to test it." Oh, I love these stories.
Yeah.
He says, "That's how I found TWR Romania. I loved Through the Bible immediately and started to listen to this program regularly because everything was explained in such a plain and simple way. Even I could understand it easily. God impressed on my heart to read the Bible myself, so I tried to buy a Bible from the Orthodox Church, but to my disappointment, no one could tell me where to get one."
Wow.
"After a while, I was able to get a Bible, and I joyfully read the New Testament. God was revealing himself to me more and more. I was reading the Bible, and I was listening to your explanations. I was alone. I had no other Christians with me. After some time, God impressed on my heart to look for a church in another city, and finally, I found one with God's help. I was very shy at the time. In the summer of 2014, I was baptized, and in the summer of 2017, I got married. Thank you for the treasures you have given me through God's word."
Wow, that is just a wonderful testimony. And we'll be celebrating and praising God until the new year, and we can't wait to share more stories of how God's working in the lives of people all around the world. And we'd love to hear your story, too. You can email us at BibleBus@ttb.org or send your letter by mail to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. Greg, pray for us.
Father, you are the only one that has the power to save our eternal souls, and we thank you for doing it through our humble efforts, and we pray you'd continue to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we're in the 8th chapter where we're getting God's final answer to these people who were complaining that they were going through a ritual and performing a liturgy and were being very religious. They were fasting, they were weeping and mourning and going through all of that, and God hadn't blessed them. And the Lord made it very clear to them that the problem was not with the ritual, problem was with them, that the ritual is inconsequential. In fact, it's meaningless. When the heart is wrong, the ritual is wrong. God made that clear to them. And then he also made it clear that when the heart is right, the ritual is right. Nothing wrong with the ritual. The thing that's wrong with the folk who are going through it. The people who are being religious are like this lady that I read about the other day that promotes our program, which she kept a young mother, married woman, from listening to our program for several years because of the life that she was living. And she was judging our program by that woman's life. May I say to you, you can go through a rite and a ritual. Now God makes it clear now in the 8th chapter, and some like to call this the positive side of God's answer. Well, it's doubly positive because it's God's purpose concerning Jerusalem is unchanged by any ritual. And the important expression here, it occurs 18 times, is the Lord of hosts. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me saying, and this now is God's answer. And he says that I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth. Now, Isaiah had previously made it very clear that Jerusalem is to become the capital of the earth. In the 2nd chapter, we read that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days. And Zechariah now is looking on to the last days, encouraging the people that they have returned and God has blessed them to a certain degree. But that's a miniature of what is going to come yonder in the future, that there's a glorious day in the future. And that won't depend upon a ritual or a liturgy or a ceremony or jumping through somebody's little hoop thinking that will please God. God says it's your heart that's going to have to be changed. And God says he's going to change their hearts. And that the word of God would go forth from Jerusalem and be called the city of truth. Now, God says here that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established, and the top of the mountains shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He'll teach us his ways, and we'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And God makes it very clear that that'll be the day that they're going to beat their spears into pruning hooks, and they're going to beat their swords into plowshares. But we haven't come to that day yet. We better keep our atom bombs dry, ready for use. This mean, big, bad world we're in, never know when you need things like that. You see, there is coming a day, and that is what Zechariah is talking about, when Jerusalem will be the city of truth, and the mountain, or the kingdom of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. In other words, the kingdom will be established, and he's speaking of the millennial kingdom that is yet in the future. Now, we'll see in these first 8 verses that God's ultimate purpose is not changed concerning his people or the land and Jerusalem. And I'm reading now in verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for every age. In other words, Jerusalem will be a place where old people can live. They won't have to go out to retirement centers or senior citizen cities. Now, I want to say something here that I know is not very popular. These senior citizens' places of retirement, they're painted to be very delightful places. But I don't know about you, and I've been to several of them and may have to move to one before it's all over with. But frankly, I don't think they're very healthy. I know that we stop at a certain one every now and then and eat lunch because it's good food and reasonable. And I tell my wife, and she agrees with me on this, that it makes you feel very, very downcast. You go there and see nothing but old gray heads and people around. It's going to be nice that in Jerusalem they won't have to have a retirement center. people be able to live in Jerusalem. I think they're going to improve on the method that they have today in the millennium. And not only will you have place for old people, and they'll be safe there, and will be welcome there, and will enjoy living there. And we're told, verse 5, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets of it. Well, that means they're not going to have automobiles. We'll get rid of the smog and get rid of the pollution. Won't be any pollution during the millennium because there's not going to be any cars. And the streets of Jerusalem are going to be playgrounds for the boys and girls. So you got old age here, the old people, and you got young people, boys and girls. And I think it's nice for grandma and grandpa to see the little grandchildren every now and then. Don't want them too long. When they get tired, they get ornery, like their grandmother. It makes it a little difficult for grandfathers, and so he likes to send them home after a while. But it's wonderful that they can mingle. And I think it's good for the little folks to have a grandma and a grandfather that puts an arm around them and tells them how much he or she loves them, because children need all the love they can get in this world. And this is a beautiful picture that's here, picture of old age and a picture of children. This is the millennium. Jerusalem is the capital of the earth. Jesus is reigning there. The church is out yonder dwelling in the new Jerusalem. Somebody says, I thought the church would be with him. I think the church will be with him. I think he's going to commute back and forth every day from there. They won't have all the tie-up on the freeways in the millennium. He'll be able to come from the new Jerusalem down. I don't think it'll take him maybe over a couple seconds to make the trip, maybe not that long. And he'll commute back and forth into the city of Jerusalem. That'll be the capital of the earth. Then we're told here, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? God says, you don't see what I see in the future. And if you think that what's happening here is wonderful, and they were greatly impressed when that delegation came down, the temple is being rebuilt, and many of the people had built their homes, and there was an air of prosperity in Jerusalem. And they said, my, it does look like God is really moving here. And God says, if you think this is something, tell the truth. He says, this is nothing compared to what it's going to be in the future. Now notice again how often the word the Lord of hosts or the Lord of armies occurs. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. Now, that's quite interesting. The East Country is the place that they've come from. A great many have come out of Yemen even in this day. And I'm told that there's still great numbers of Jews that are in the Orient. God says, I'll bring my people from the East Country and from the West Country. Now, where's the West Country? Well, we're part of it, I think. If you keep going west of Jerusalem, I notice when I take a plane, they fly out of there west, and they just keep going west. And finally, I get back to Los Angeles. They'll be leaving this country then. Just think what New York City will become. It will become a ghost town, practically, because there are more Jews there than there are in that land. So in the millennium, why, New York City is going to be a different place altogether, because God's bringing his people. He hasn't performed this yet. That's what he's telling them. He says, if you in the remnant think what you see is wonderful, think what I see out yonder in the future. Verse 8 now, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people. They're not his people now. Somebody says to me, do you believe that the Jews are God's chosen people? I think I shock them a little. I said, no, I don't think so. Well, they said, what do you mean? You say it on the radio. No, God's chosen people today is the church. Ye are a chosen generation. Your royal priesthood. Who's he talking about? The church today is that, where both Jew and Gentile have been brought together and made one in Christ. And that's the only real brotherhood that there can be in this world. And that's the church. Now, the church will be removed. And then God will take these people and return them to the land. And we've already seen in the visions that God will cleanse them. They need cleansing as we do. The church are a blood-bought, blood-washed people. Why? Because they're sinners. And as we said the other day, we're saved sinners right now. One of these days, I'm going to be a real saint. I'm a saint now by name, but my life doesn't look like a saint, I'll tell you that. It is something else. But one of these days, I'm going to be like him. And that's going to be a glorious day. Now, these people are going to be transformed also. And God says they shall be my people. When? In that day. When what? When they go back to Jerusalem. They're not in the city of Jerusalem. I've been through that old city of Jerusalem, and it's filled with Arabs. They're the ones that are living there today. Now, God says, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. And they're not back there in truth. They still deny the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah, and they do not accept him. In fact, there's no reference to God. I'm amazed. The leaders of that country today, how little, in fact, it's practically nil. They say less about God than anybody else. In fact, I heard an Arab leader say, if Allah wills it. Well, he didn't seem to be ashamed of his God, but Israel doesn't mention her God. They're not boasting of him at all. But God says, I'm going to be their God in truth and in righteousness. And righteousness means things are going to be made right. What a picture that we have here. Now, let me continue to move on when we come here to verse 9 as we move on down. In fact, from verses 9 to 19, you have the remnant from Babylon are to hear the prophets Haggai and Zechariah in view of the perspective of the glorious future. Also, they are to keep the commandments. Just because they didn't come back doesn't mean that they're excused from the commandments. And they are to listen to Haggai and Zechariah. Now, will you notice verse 9? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets. And the prophets were Haggai and Zechariah. And they were the ones encouraging the people to build the temple, who were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. And encouraging now those that didn't come up to help with the building of the temple. And they did help, by the way. Verse 10, for before these days, there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beasts. In other words, unemployment was a real factor in the economics of the country at that time. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. Now, we're living in this country, and we've practically forgotten God. We've left him out. There are very few that make any reference to him that are in public life, except they may ridicule him, and they call him Jesus Christ Superstar, or something that is, to my judgment, blasphemous. And God is pretty well left out. And we are wondering why we are having all this trouble with the different groups. They call them minority groups. And not only the racial divisions, but the social divisions, economic divisions, geographical divisions. All of these things enter in today, and there's never been a time when there's been so much talk about let's get together, let's put the thing together, and let's stand together as a nation, and let's do this as one people, and all of that kind of talk that comes from leaders today, and let's do this, and let's do that, and we accommodate this minority group and that minority group, and we get farther and farther apart. You know why? Because we've left God out. God says you're not having peace, and there's division among us, all kinds of division, almost warfare that's taking place, turmoil and violence. What's the matter? Oh, my, every politician who runs for office, he's got the solution to it. The only thing is he doesn't have the solution for it. And I want to say to you, I don't have the solution, but the Word of God says, there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And the answer seems to be that we need to get God back in the picture. We need to turn to him today. What a picture we have here. Now, will you notice verse 11? But now I will not be unto the residue of this people, as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. God says, I don't intend to bless you as you are now, or as you were before I sent you into captivity. But, he says, I'm going to bless you, for the seed shall be prosperous. This is verse 12. The vine shall give its fruit, and the ground shall give its increase, and the heavens shall give their dew, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And God brought prosperity to that nation for a period of time. And I think that the great judgment came upon them, of course, when they rejected the Messiah and Titus the Roman destroyed the city and scattered them throughout the Roman Empire. And they've never returned from that, according to the word of God. Verse 13, it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. And of course, at the time I'm making this tape, there's still fingers being pointed at Israel. And practically all of Europe has deserted them because of the oil situation. And they are finding out that they're not worth more than a gallon of gasoline. It's a tragic situation. They become a curse among the nations. And anti-Semitism is growing again throughout the world. But God says, when I've saved them, and I bring them back to that land, they're going to be a blessing to the world. You see, I believe that that nation will be the priests for the Gentile nations of the earth to stand between God and the Gentile nations. That'll be in the millennium. Verse 14, for thus saith the Lord of hosts. Notice how often that occurs. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not. God says, I didn't change my mind about that. So again have I thought in these days to do good unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. God says, I intend to bless you. And I intend to bless you not because you've been through a ritual. That hasn't anything to do with it. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak every man the truth to his neighbor. Now we're back to the Ten Commandments. As I said, many expositors feel that God's putting down on them the Ten Commandments here. Well, we saw it in the seventh chapter. Here it is again. He says, speak every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. Don't covet your neighbor. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. Now, the Ten Commandments show you some of the things that God hates. They're not given to save you, but they're to show you and me that God hates these things that are in our lives, and therefore we need to turn to him. Now, verse 18, and the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, here he goes again. What repetition we have. God wants you to know he said it. Now, this is tremendous. Verse 19, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace. God says, I never gave you fasts. I gave you feasts. God gave to them seven feast days. God says, I don't want you to come before me with a long face and that pious look that you have. I want you to come before me with joy. My friend, a lot of us are not enjoying being Christians as we should. God wants us to have a whole lot of fun, you know. And I think the big fun center for Christians ought to be the local church. Somebody says, oh, you mean have a volleyball court? No, I mean come together and study the Word of God. That ought to be fun. And there's something wrong with you, Christian, if studying the Word of God's not fun. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
If you're looking for some Bible resources that'll help you dig deeper yourself, why don't you visit ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-800-65-BIBLE or ttb.org. And remember, you can always write to us at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. And be sure to hop aboard the Bible bus tomorrow for more great teaching from Dr. McGee as we continue to make our way through the Bible.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world, and we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's word go today?